Thank you for downloading this New Zealand Sports Radio show. We have a new way that you can support us. There is a link in the notes down below where you can make a one-off donation to New Zealand Sports Radio. Thank you for support and enjoy the show.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to the Driving Mall Show. Hi, it's Paul. I'm your host today and looks like I'm going to be flying solo this evening as we talk about all of the international rugby that happened last weekend, as well as look forward to the final round of international games coming up next weekend as well. Hope you all had a fantastic weekend. I got to see plenty of rugby, but most of it was admittedly club rugby rather than necessarily the international stuff. I got down to Waihee B's semi-final against Thames. I drove the van there for the boys so they could have a drink after the game. I was videoing the game for them, and they also had their court session when we got back to the club rooms and got invited into that as well. So that was good fun. Didn't throw up. So I think that was definitely a successful court session for me, not necessarily for some of the others. And my charge was around those who weren't wearing club kits. So I got them to drink because of that. Talking of drinks, I'm on the Moa Hazy Pale Ale this evening. That's what I'm going to kick off with anyway. As it's a solo show, now, for those of you listening on the old podcast, if it goes quiet, that's because I'm having a drink. And you know what? Those of you watching the video on YouTube, Facebook, or Twitter, which obviously comes out at 8 p.m. every Monday evening, New Zealand time, that is, it'll also go quiet for you, but at least you can see me drinking the beer at that time. Good evening in the live chat to Simon Hughes. And yes, definitely we'll get on to talking about Georgia's game against Italy, which was one of several historic games this last weekend. I must admit, I did miss that Namibia had qualified for the World Cup, so congratulations to Namibia on their qualification, joining the same group as the All Blacks. So, yeah, good luck to them in that one. Big weekend of rugby. Oh, yeah, and then after the after what was obviously a late night on Saturday, after that court session, obviously got to watch the All Blacks Ireland and most of Australia, England, but obviously a bit of a blur, a drunken haze with some of it, but I have gone through and re-watched some of the games, so don't worry about that. I got down to Ngātia to watch Waihee College take on Mercury Bay Area College and the first 15 for Thames Valley area. With Waihee winning that one. So a good weekend of club rugby that I got to. Also, Stephen Harris was up in Northland for their club finals day for Thames Valley. That's next weekend. And he did a whole bunch of post-match interviews. So check out those. And also post-match video of the winning team's hacker. So head over to the New Zealand Sport Radio to watch that one there. Hey, LB over there. He's not too worried about the box game, but we will get on to that one later. So the weekend kicked off from an international point of view anyway with Japan facing France. Obviously, a lot of these games being backups of the games from last weekend. France again came out victors 15-20. Look, showing the depth that France has got at the moment. It's obviously still missing some of those players who were part of the top 14 finals. It's not a fully full-strength French side, but well done to them with a perfect kicking record by the looks of it from their kickers on that one. In the live chat, Robbie Reese Daly wants to ask her, did I play rugby back in the day? I gave up when I was about 13, I'll be honest. But at the age of 48, I'm thinking, you know what, maybe I'll make my club debut next season for the Bees here in Waihee if I get a good season of off training on the whole core and neck muscles part of thing, so I don't get broken on the first tackle back, or first tackle ever. But yeah, tempted to try and get one game in next season, but we'll see about that one and how that all goes. So congratulations to France with that one. And as Nocturnal Rights says in the live chat, that means that France go to number one in the world rankings. And from memory, that is the first time they have ever been number one in the world rankings. So fantastic for France there on that one. So great work for France, as they who have built in that depth there. Simon points out, yeah, it was a try in that last try and conversion that last 10 minutes to go, which took the lead for France. We move on for them from that one, and the next game up was the Pacific Island games aren't listed on the page that I'm looking at, which is poor show by me. So we'll come back to the Pacific Nations Cup games at the end, because I've not got the results up on my screen. But New Zealand then took on Ireland in this one, losing the game 12-23. Ireland picking up their first ever victory over New Zealand in New Zealand. So congratulations to them. Unlike a bunch of the media reporters, it's not Ireland's first win in New Zealand, because obviously they won games during the Rugby World Cup, but it's their first time they've beaten New Zealand in New Zealand. So congratulations to them. I predicted this was going to happen last weekend at Eden Park, but no, it didn't. It happened down there in Forsyth Bar instead. Interesting listening to the... Oh, and I've gone blank again. One of the Irish rugby podcasts, one that I was on the other week, which is really why it's very embarrassing that I can't remember the name of the podcast now. The Harping on Rugby, thank you. That's the one. Was that one? Listening to them, and as LB says, Ireland are crazy, are scary with ball in hand. And one of the things on that Harping on Rugby podcast, by the review from them, was talking that about how they played too much rugby in the rain at Eden Park. Obviously down in Forsyth Bar, it's an indoor stadium, so the weather conditions from that point of view. Isn't a problem, and perhaps that helped them out this weekend. And the fact the better conditions that they were playing in but I think to me also what we saw, or what I saw particularly in that Eden Park one, was how the New Zealand defence really rattled and unsettled Ireland up at Eden Park. We did not see that at the weekend. There's been some very good analysis by Brett Ego, IGOE, which is Brett, rug analyst on Twitter, where he shows you how the Irish Ireland attack really targeted the front row players in the defensive line. It's a real good working over that those players got. Looking at the stats on that, each of the starting forwards all missed two tackles, so Bauer, Taylor and Tuonga Fassi. And then also Ross coming off the bench also missed a tackle. So that's seven missed tackles by the front row of the All Blacks out of 12 missed tackles by the whole team. So over half of the missed tackles there were by the front row players who were, I say, targeted by that Ireland attack. So great coaching, great awareness of who's in front of you and when to have a go at the line in that kind of sense. So well done to there. LB pointing out saying New Zealand discipline was shocking. Well, New Zealand gave up the same number of penalties as they did last weekend. I think it was, maybe it was one more. So it was pretty similar to last weekend. No, it was the same, 14-14. Ireland gave up as many penalties as New Zealand did. But the big difference this time was Ireland actually kicked their penalties, whereas last weekend up at Eden Park, they didn't take one single chance at goal. Remember, they got held up over the line quite a lot of times. But this time, Ireland kicked their penalties and it finished 12-23, but both sides scored two tries. So there you go. You can see that kicking at posts was the difference. 9 points from their penalties and then two more from a conversion, because New Zealand missed one of their conversions. Gives you that the 11-point margin. So, yeah, different point from there. A couple of cards in this was one that I think were considered to be controversial. Obviously, the first up, the yellow for Lesa Vainuku, when he was into Mac Mason, who had just kicked the ball. And people go, well, what was he supposed to do? How can he move once he's jumped to block it? Sorry, if you're going to jump and jump into where the player is, if you don't get the ball, even if you do get the ball, you're going to be, there's a good chance you're going to be in trouble. So you've got to say, for me, I've got no problems with that yellow card whatsoever in that one. And then the red card as well. Look, he stepped into the player. And as soon as you do that, it no longer becomes a change of direction cannot be an issue, because you've stepped in to make that tackle. Was he ready to step into it? Probably not. Was it semi-instinctual? Sure, it was. But he's got to get down if he does that. And that is a red card for me. And I've got no problems with the cards that were handed out. LB suggesting that the Svanu one could be red as well. Yep. That one could also have been red, but they're definitely both were cards. So New Zealand, has got no position to complain on those counts in this one. I thought the kick through for the try by Bowden Barrett showed a very good awareness and was particularly good. So happy for him to do that. So that was basically Ireland beating New Zealand with four tries scored in the game compared to nine tries scored last weekend. And that's going to be a running theme that you're going to hear across these games, where obviously last weekend we had all four games being won by the Rugby Championship sides. This weekend it was the polar opposite, with all four games being won by the Six Nations sides. The less of the less tries scored than the previous weekend on that one. There was also some problems around figuring out which players and who should be on the pitch, who wasn't on the pitch, with Ardie Surveyor having to be removed as well. Look, the laws of the game are too complex. We need to sort them out and simplify them. We can't have those sort of problems happening. You really should not be. One of the things that I think I talked about after the Maori All Blacks game against Ireland, where I got to see the team list, one of the things that Ireland specifically did was name extra replacements for all their front row players. So they had three options rather than just the normal two. Essentially, one of the props was down as a tight head, loose head, and hooker. So he could replace any of those people if needed, if they had to get that third player on the pitch, which is what kind of where New Zealand got to when they sort of had, was it injured, a red card injured or red card, yellow card, either way. The second player couldn't be there. So for me, that was a big problem for New Zealand not being aware of this for that one. New Zealand played with 50 men 50 minutes after the red. I don't know if that's true or not. I'd be surprised if it was true. But Ireland specifically got themselves that, so they didn't go down to 13 or didn't lose the extra player. So clearly that was a problem for in New Zealand, and they should not have sort of put them. They could have stopped themselves being in that situation, I think, on that one. So yeah, congratulations to Ireland, first ever win over New Zealand in New Zealand. Fantastic for them. Going on to this last game in Wellington. Wow, apparently a location that New Zealand does not have the best record in. Could Ireland go one step further and get themselves a series win? One thing I would say, though, here is I don't agree with Johnny Sexton being on the pitch for this game. After he got that head knock, half he missed his, lost his first HIA last weekend. Sure, he passed his second and third one, which means he's allowed to come onto the pitch. If you look at how England sent Curry home and said, no more for you. Similar thing, Wales doing a similar thing with one of their players. Look, to me, Sexton, who has had a 6-month break from it when he was playing in France because he had so many concussions, Sexton should not have been on this pitch. And you do have to worry as to what his brain is going to be like and what his post-career lifestyle is going to be like. So to me, yeah, not happy with him playing in that game from a player welfare point of view. And now that's been made, let's move on then to Australia versus England, a game where, let's be honest, look, Australia won last weekend despite a red card, 14 on 15. So I really did wonder how England were going to be able to step up here. Suncorp, also a place where Wallabies had a 10 game winning streak coming in to this game, and so you've got to say Australia, you know, when people are predicting them, you've got to say I think we all had the right prediction. Just England stepped up and showed us that this was wrong. From a predictions point of view, I had a shocker this weekend, to be honest with you, folks. I only got 2 out of 9 right on the old Super Brew, that being the Samoa game and the Samoa Tonga and the Japan France game. But there you go. This, though, a bit like that New Zealand Ireland game, that the fact that it was won with kicking rather than tries. And same again here for this one. Australia scored 2 tries. England only scored 1 try, that try on 5 minutes. So a really good start for them. And then Farrell with 6 from 7 from the boot on penalties, won this one at 17-25. So 6 tries scored last weekend, only 3 in this one. Again, half number of tries, and England, using scoreboard pressure, using the boot to win this game. So still got to be some concerns for England when it comes to Rugby World Cup time around their ability to score tries, to be honest with you. They forced a lot of penalties within kicking range, 16 penalties in all that Australia gave up, but still worried about that one, to be honest with you. A couple of yellow cards in this one for deliberate knock-ons. I know the commentary, you know, like, oh, the Wallabies one wasn't a knock-on. Rubbish. Yes, it was. It was a deliberate knock-on. If you only put one hand to the ball and it goes forward, when you're blocking an opposition pass, it's going to be a deliberate knock-on, and hence more than happy with both the yellow cards in this one as well, to be honest with you. England's tackling, only 78%. Missed 31 tackles, which is a monster amount.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
The fact they managed to still win this one, that was done in that first half, wasn't it? Let's be honest, in the just two penalties kicked, just 6 points in that second half, but by being 19, getting those 19 points up, 19-7, wasn't it, at half-time, it was just too far back for the Wallabies to come on this one. Lots of comments about injury issues for the Wallabies. And look, that happens from time to time, but you're still going to step up and play your games. Injuries affect all teams. Let's be honest. And yeah, they're having a bad run for them, though. So well done to England. Really did not see that that one coming. But still concerned around their lack of the lack of scoring of tries. Talking about some lack of scoring tries, just one in this game between South Africa and Wales. Wales also, just like Ireland, this was an historic game with them winning for the first time ever over South Africa in South Africa. Again, there's been a Rugby World Cup there, so I don't think it's their first ever win in South Africa, but the first ever win against the Springboks in South Africa down there. So well done to them. I mean, the meters run all with them, all with South Africa, and the stats with them, but South Africa couldn't get over the line, kicking four penalties, and then Wales scoring a real nice try late on to get that 1 point win. Great kick by Gareth Anscombe to get that one there. Johan Rugby going, remember we had a B team playing against Wales. I don't agree with that one, to be honest with you. It was a very changed team from the previous week with 14 changes to the run on 15. But I would suggest Henri Pollard is actually your first choice in 10. Peter Seftoy is your first choice 7 or blindside flanker. Whilst, yes, it was a very changed team up since the previous weekend, I don't think this was, and then there was a lot of talk in the week leading up to this game by South African fans, how this wasn't a B team. I don't agree that this was a B team in this one. LB puts, mentioned that the ref's whistle was involved a lot in this game. Actually, with 23 penalties, there were less penalties in this game than in the All Blacks versus Ireland game. From that point of view, actually, say not the most penalised game of the weekend. Another one there. This one, Johan. It was a changed team. There were 6 debutant guys. Yeah, I'd say. I agree there were lots of changes that were debutants in this one, but I don't think it was a fully B team by any stretch on this one. LB also, a South African or Springbok supporter, does agree. The chemistry was a bit of an issue in this team, and Wales did have the advantage of using a similar side to the previous weekend. This obviously sets up the Springboks great for the Rugby World Cup, though, having given all these players the experience, seen who can and cannot make it, who cannot be a test match animal, or at least giving players their first taste of it so they can experience it and get better at doing it. So, a 1 point loss for the Springboks is not the end of the world by any stretch of the imagination. Finally, then, from a rugby championship versus Six Nations point of view, Argentina, Scotland. Wow, Scotland really turned this round. I didn't see this one coming. Scotland really did up their attack. Their running into gaps was absolutely fantastic from them, and racked up four tries, which means they scored more tries than any of the other teams in these four games. There, Argentina just managed two penalties in that first half, I've gone totally blank with what I was going to say. Anyway, Scotland, great attack, hitting those holes, hitting those gaps, very impressed with how they've turned things around. Still, obviously, missing players like Russell and Hogg, who they left at home as well on that one. Great response by Scotland. Not Scotland's first win ever in Argentina, unlike Ireland against New Zealand, and also Wales against South Africa in those countries. So we turn around from a four wins for the rugby championship teams to four wins for the Six Nations teams. If we have a quick look at how that lines things up for next weekend, as you can see here, we've got Australian versus England Test Series is 1-1. Sorry for those of you on the podcast, I'll put a list up of all of the of all the series we've got going. New Zealand versus Ireland Test Series is also at 1-1, as is Argentina, Scotland, as is South Africa, Wales. So four Test Series at 1-1. The Maori All Blacks there, as you see, 1-0. That game comes up tomorrow night, so I'll be interested in the second game there and how Ireland approach that game in particular. Japan obviously won their series against Uruguay earlier and a 2-0 down against France in that one. A game that I thought isn't actually on my list for some reason, but Georgia took on Italy and won that game, but it's not been updated on the screen I'm looking at, so I'm going to jump over onto the Tribe Sports app to get some those results, because this was also one of the things I've been saying for a while now is that Georgia has never beaten a Tier 1 nation. Well, that changed this weekend as they beat Italy 28-19. So congratulations to them. That will definitely add to the calls for them to be included in the Six Nations. Personally, I can't see that changing, but anytime soon. But it will definitely add fuel to that, definitely was needed. 28-19 there. Some other results: Uruguay lost to Romania 22-30, and Canada lost to Spain 34-57 on that one. So. Surprised by that loss by Canada too. Both teams not going through the World Cup, obviously. Talking of Rugby World Cup, as Simon told us that Namibia have qualified by beating Kenya. Also, in the first leg between Chile and the USA, that finished 21-22. So the USA taking a one-point lead into the return fixture for that one, which is on Sunday, the 17th of July. So this coming Sunday, USA taking that one-point lead into their home side of that tie. So cracking set of results or of games coming up. Let's switch back then to the Pacific Nations Cup that, as I said, I'll deal with afterwards. Samoa took on Tonga, beat them 34-18. Look, I've not seen this one, but I know Tonga's problem last weekend was that front was a scrum and not having the platform for those wonderful backs. Wouldn't surprise me if that was a big part of that again. A bit surprised to see Fiji coming up short against Australia A 18-32 again. Sorry, I've not seen that game. So a big win. Obviously, I think things looking good from that point of view for Australia. Getting that second team playing, especially with them not having an NPC or a Curry Cup sort of level for them for the second sort of tier of international players to play during the second half of the year. That'll be good for that one. LB, thank you for letting me know that Tonga rested some players the Rugby World Cup qualifier, which would have impacted that Samoa-Tonga game there on that one. So that's how things were. As Simon points out, Tonga was leading their match. They were at halftime 10-18, but they scored no points in the second half as Samoa scored 24 unanswered points in that after the whistle, or after half time, after oranges in that one. And so, yes, so Hong Kong playing Tonga in 2 weeks' time for that one. For that Rugby World Cup qualifier that Tonga was talking about on that one. So there you go. That's a wrap up of all of the rugby from last weekend. Some of the talking points, the cards. I've got no problems with any of the cards that were given out, and the mess up by the All Blacks around how and who you replace in those games. That kind of stuff has to be sorted out. We do need simplification of the laws and rules so people know what's going on. Because at the moment it's just too what's the word I'm looking for? It's just too complicated for casual, even hardcore fans to know what's going on or to understand why or who can go. So that stuff needs to be sorted out, and those sort of mess ups shouldn't be definitely should not be happening. Hope you all enjoy your rugby. So I'll be honest. So some other things here. Johan asked me, do I think that I think he asked me whether Foster. I think it was him that was asking me whether I think Foster should be sacked. Look, looking, we're less than a year away now from the Rugby World Cup, or about 12 months away ish, slightly more actually, isn't it? 14 or so, but. There are very, very few games left for a new coach if he was to come in. A similar thing, you've already had Farrell talking after that Maori All Blacks game, that the reason they had those two extra Maori All Blacks games is because they wanted extra games to see players and give players experience. That's the only reason that those games are happening, is because COVID has cut out so many games and we're so close to the Rugby World Cup. So, I think it's too late to be changing players. Something similar was asked about Townsend after their first game against Argentina on a Squish Rugby podcast I was listening to today. Now, obviously, those comments would be gone by now. So, let's just be honest. It's not that they were saying it's too late to be changing coaches. So, look, I don't think it would be fair to bring in Scott Robertson, or if you did bring him in, you have to give him like a 5-year contract, saying he can have the whole of the next Super Rugby cycle, next World Cup cycle as well, irrelevant of what happens at the Rugby World Cup. I don't think changing Ian Foster is going to happen. I don't think the New Zealand Rugby Blazers would do so. Look, he is definitely one of the in crowd, Hanson's boy, and all of that kind of stuff. So, don't think that'll be happening. Do I think the Box will be wise if they made Johan Ackerman their new head coach after the Rugby World Cup? I think that the Ackerman is a really good coach. Looking at what he did, particularly at the Lions, it wasn't quite so successful with Gloucester. Let's be honest. I don't know if they'll actually. You don't have to change a coach every 4 years, right? So will Johan Neymar be given another 4 years Let's see, he hasn't had a full 4 years this time, really, when you think about COVID and stuff. So I wouldn't be surprised if they perhaps stuck with the same coach if he has a good rugby World Cup. I wouldn't be anti Ackerman being there. That's, Tommy, that is for sure. Simon in the live chat said Scott Robertson, has no international rugby experience. He should coach another country before coaching the All Blacks. Look, yeah, you might think that, but if he does not get the All Blacks coaching job for 2024, I would be amazed. I think Razor's definitely going to be the All Blacks head coach after the Rugby World Cup. The only thing that could possibly stop that is if Foster was to win the Rugby World Cup, and I'm not sure even that's enough for him to keep his job post Rugby World Cup, to be honest with you. Johan Rugby says he'd give Razor a 15-year contract with the All Blacks. Yeah, that's not going to happen. Let's be honest, that would be a silly thing to do. So I'm going to wrap it up there, folks. It was a bit of a heavy one for me at the weekend. So I did not, not as prepared or not seen as much rugby as I was expecting for this one. Next weekend, I'm not sure yet whether I'll be at Moor Club Rugby, because even though Waihee Bees did lose their semi-final, they go into a third, fourth playoff. We're seeing whether we can get a team together for that, for the McDonald's Cup there. I don't think it's McDonald's as in the fast food chain, that, yeah, maybe halftime Big Macs for everybody to even things up, maybe, and to slow the backs down. But all joking aside, there's a cracking set of games coming up. Obviously, on Tuesday night, which is tomorrow night, we've got the Maori All Blacks versus Ireland. And then next weekend, the final games of the series between New Zealand, Ireland, Australia, England, South Africa, Wales, and Argentina, Scotland. Georgia get the opportunity to back up their win over Italy against Portugal, and then Uruguay versus Romania is the second game in their series. The other one happened in the early hours this morning, New Zealand time. So definitely another cracking round of Rugby Championship versus Six Nations games for that one. Simon letting us know that the Maori All Blacks game versus Ireland is on free to air with Prime TV here in New Zealand. So on that one. And LB says, get over that hangover, my guy. Yes, the older you get, the slower the longer it takes to get over those hangovers. And it probably doesn't help walking home at 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. Let's be honest about that one. So thank you, everybody. And look forward to talking to you again at 8 p.m. on Monday evening for the Driving More show.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, marketers, advertisers, and business owners. Find yourself chatting up the same audience in the same places, using the same old lines? Maybe it's time to podcast the net further to catch your next customer. With Acast, there's plenty of fish in the sea with more than 100,000 podcasts and millions of listeners. So there's a perfect match for every business. Use our ad platform to cast your net, then narrow down using targeting such as demographic, show categories, audience segments, and more. Find your match, then reel them in. Advertise on more than 100,000 podcasts with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.